troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com and threshingfloor-radio.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hello.
Good evening. I'm doing very well this evening myself, and I hope you gentlemen are too.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Looking forward to getting some more of this Revelation 13 study out. It's been a couple weeks. Glad to be here with you guys.
Yes, most certainly so. Yeah, and I've already been seeing more stuff here along with Brother Bob on hidden stuff in this chapter and more real time going on.
Yes, audience, it is a the progression of this study is basically based on the ability to take what's happening now in the world, in this generation, and place it into the context of what was revealed to the Apostle John. And in doing so, it's not a quick study of application. It's basically a quick study of what is going on in current events. Anybody disagree?
Absolutely not.
It's the program guide.
And there was a reading for this for all generations, actually. If you lived 500 years ago, there was a reading. But now we're at the end one.
Which is different. It's a...
Different beast whose deadly wound was being healed then. But now we know that this is the end picture. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we're there.
And we're to act in the like manner of the remnant seed 500 years ago, 1,500 years ago, the apostles. All built on the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to gather unto him and not gather into the fleshly deceptions and snares that are out there right now. And we'll go over current events. It's a fiasco of... it's Revelation, audience. You have a... In Revelation 13, we'll be going over the false prophet. That is the church. The church is leading the... people into idol worship. They are run by money changers, and this will be revealed in not only current events, but it's revealed in scripture as far as our study. Brother Chris, what do we have tonight for current events?
Well, yeah, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, we've been just over this Revelation 13 study, and, you know, 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And I'm telling you what, this is exactly what we're seeing today taking place right now. Because, you know, there's so much the ulterior motives behind these globalists and this mass-controlled media is just so, it's so disturbing, really. I don't know any other word for it. And the disturbing part is the fact that the masses are caught up in this thing and they believe all this stuff. They believe these lies that are being told to them right now. You know, we've got this shell game going on with this, you know, a preposterous birth certificate thing, and it was a clear hoax. You know, the thing was phony as a $3 bill. You know, you see them taking it apart with, Adobe Editor or whatever the software is that they use to build, a PDF file. It's like they're doing it on purpose. But then instantly, you know, that's all gone with Osama bin Laden, you know, who's been dead for years. And, he's been on ice. And I see it now. I just actually forgot about it, to be honest with you. And to the point now, I see this is what they've been doing, just saving it for the right time. And, you know, this was the time they pulled them out, you know, and then this burial at sea, my goodness, it's crazy. See what's going to happen here. You know, there's going to be Al-Qaeda retaliation. You know, there's going to be a false flag event.
And who can make war against the beast?
That's right. And that's going to be the thing.
When all this gets put down, you know, the beast is going to be hailed and wondered after.
Yeah.
We got.
And you know that this is all, Israel's driving this whole thing.
Yep.
And that's what's going to end up happening. This what we saw happen yesterday and today in the news is the ticket to invade Iran. I guarantee this is the end game of this, because the events that will transpire now will win the approval of the multitudes.
Yep,
which is
the
what
whole thing is winning the approval of the multitudes, right?
Just like it happened at the time of Christ, and this is what they're doing. Because I was around today at a couple places, and I just had I cringe. And I just said, you know, in one place where I, one part store where I was at today, they were watching TV, and I said, you know, this is phony as a $3 bill. He's been dead for years. And the poor guy just looked at me like I had two heads, you know?
Like you had two heads, right. No, it's the whole, it's like who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third. And, you know, I don't care. He's the shortstop. I mean, but, you got the Pope. They're digging him out of the ground.
They're digging the Pope out of the ground.
Of blood. You got the royal wedding feast in Britain. I mean, you couldn't. I don't think the Saturday Night News could come up with anything more comical than what you see. The Saturday Night Live News thing with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin.
And John Belushi.
Yes. Yes, and audience, so as we go over these current events, they seem, you know, these are serious life-threatening fleshly events that are, you know, we're in wars, unbelievable wars, rumors of wars, so we're basically in Revelation. Do we know it's a little season? Well, you know, it's very hard to pin. We just know it's events are leading up to the opening of the books of Revelation, and the churches are the key identity of what's happening to the Christians and what's happening to, that's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things will come, verily, I say unto you. And all of these things were spoken of in parables, and the mustard seed parable is very applicable. The church has grown into a monstrosity.
Didn't John Wesley say that the church was going to grow into this beautiful place, Chris?
Yeah, well, John Wesley's, that's the doctrine, basically the predominant doctrine in the evangelical church is that he's talking about leaven. The leaven was a good thing. The leaven was
right.
The gospel message spreading throughout the world.
But he was giving a prophecy, though, that the church would be glorified and spread throughout the world. So that's a Deuteronomy 13. That's a false prophet that leads you to another god.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's current events, audience. If you're,
and we can obviously see that prophecy didn't come true.
Well, it came true. Yeah,
it may have come true for the ones under strong delusion. I guess it'll come true. They will believe, you know, their mustard seed. Pat Robertson will be in that tree and one of the branches, and you'll have Joyce Myers in one of the branches, and you'll have Billy Graham in one of the branches, and the Pope.
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about, folks, is the fact that, you know, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven in Matthew chapter 13 are probably two of the most misinterpreted scriptures in the Bible, if not the most important, the most foundational. The fact that we're taught that the mustard seed is faith and it grows into the big tree. Well, there is a reference to the faith of a mustard seed, but it's not what it's talking about here in Matthew 13. The mustard seed is false doctrine, and it grows into the tree that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream, the tree of Babylon, that every fowl nests in its branches, you know, and that's a metaphor for the you know, the unclean spirits. And then, you know, in another place in Revelation, it says the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field get shade under its branches.
Right.
And you know, this is a picture of Babylon. The church goes bad.
Both of those little parables, those two parables there, the mustard seed and the leaven, they're both parables of pride. And when you're in pride, you can't see it. You have no vision. You don't even know that you're in the pride. That's why they believe it.
And it's told, audience, 2 Peter, this is probably the most important scripture in this time. 2 Peter 3:16, and also in all his epistles, and he's referring to the Apostle Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, audience, that is the plain rendering of this, is you are to study yourself approved. You enter into the covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you do this by stop sinning in your mind, and you pray. And remember, all flesh is bad. No flesh is good. So there's an understanding there that when you're entering into covenant and you're cleaning your vessel, because you are the temple of the Lord, you have the proper rendering of scriptures to tell you how not to be deceived. And as we talked a little bit about the Pope ordeal, now, how many people are deceived by that? Any estimates?
Oh, well, there's a billion Catholics. I guess there has to be a certain amount of them maybe starting to scratch their head and saying, could there be something wrong here? I would hope there is anyway.
There is. There's got to be.
And, yeah. and this scripture is talking about you, audience. Okay, they that are unlearned are the people in the churches. They are the people that are being led by a false prophet and the money changers in the temple, and that it temple is inhabited by Satan, spirit of, and it'll be pertinent to the Revelation 13 study, because the dragon speaks these things. And we're trying to convey to you through scripturally these key verses so that you can study yourself approved. Because the surrounding verses tell the rest of the story. And in our limited time, we can't go through multiple studies. Continuing on, 2 Peter 3:17, ye, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And gentlemen, who do we identify as the wicked?
The tares, serpents and scorpions, the children of Satan.
The tribes of the earth.
Tribes of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth.
The earth dwellers.
Edom, the house of Edom.
Esau.
This is what we're talking about in Revelation 13, them that dwell on the earth.
Them that dwell
spiritual
on the earth.
Egypt. Spiritual Sodom.
Yeah.
And so, audience, there's a spiritual construct, and to give the proper rendering, I can convey an analogy of blueprints. And in one room is a blueprints for this whole structure. And then there's many rooms because it's a large structure and everybody's working off their own blueprints and has the keys, parts and pieces of the total structure that'll be here on Earth sometime soon. Because it says our Lord will come in a like manner. And his apostles and disciples were there when he left in a like manner.
Amen.
And who was also there, Brother Bill?
Yeah, well, there was 500 witnesses there also.
And the angels.
And the promise of him, you know, it's the love of God and his grace that he's returning. And, you know, that's your five, your number five, 500 right there.
And the angels were there.
And yes, right, yes.
So when we turn to the story of Pilate, and Pilate is discussing the reign, which we'll go into a little bit, gentlemen, about the thousand-year reign, we have Pilate asking our Lord if he is a king. And our Lord answering it, you know, I am the king, but I'm not of this world. And if I were to be of this world, I would have my angels come and they would save me from the Jews. And right. It's significant that at the ascension there was two angels there to convey to the men, the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a number of about 500, that he will come again in a like manner.
Right, and there was two angels, you said, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be two witnesses, I guess, there. And there's, yeah, he's going to return in like manner, yeah, absolutely. And that's what's going to be when he comes like a thief in the night, when you know, after the tribulation. He says, I'm immediately going to come immediately after the tribulation. The Son of Man comes in the clouds with power and great glory. And that's when he comes to judge the world. I mean, you know, to judge the unrighteous. And the dead in Christ shall rise at that time. And that's all the people pre-cross too. I mean, before the cross, right, pre-cross. They'll rise out of their graves and they'll be given life as they were promised for having their faith in the coming Messiah. And it's going to be a day of standing boldly before the throne or a day of running to grab for fig leaves.
Yes.
And
we're told, audience, that as this kingdom construct of the thousand-year reign, which you can find on the breakout studies, both Brother Chris and Brother Bill have been working very hard, very diligently, in terms of the proper rendering of Scripture, to have the true truth of Scripture telling you that the Lord is reigning now. And ye are the temple of the Lord, so you're reigning with the Lord, or you're not. You're understanding your Scriptures by the recollection of the Holy Spirit teaching you the Scriptures, and not man teaching you the Scriptures.
Amen.
Gentlemen, would you say you would be able to give the proper rendering of those scriptures without the Holy Spirit?
No, it's impossible.
Brother Chris?
Yeah, we see where the flesh gets you. Yeah, I want to encourage the listeners to, you know, check out we just posted part three. It actually just got posted, tonight. We know we're recording this on Monday night. But it's up there, and it is just fantastic as far as the information that Bill, you know, is able to put together and exposing this false doctrine of this millennial reign. It's just another key false doctrine. You know, we've said before that Satan knew exactly which doctrines to attack for the last days. And
isn't it the perfect piece of puzzle to fit in with the rapture and to fit in with the chosen people and to fit in with the unfinished works of Daniel's 70th week? I mean, it just fits in the puzzle.
Because it's setting the stage for what's happening in the world today. Because everything we're seeing is all in preparation for the one world government. And it can't, you know, the idea that we can't have peace on earth without a world government. And all this is Satan bringing back the Tower of Babel. you know, undoing what God did once. You know, God scattered his people, and now Satan is attempting to sit upon the mount of the congregation, which, you know, it's debatable. You know, it seems to me he does, and I think this thing is way farther along than most people think. And while people are looking to the future for all these prophecies to come true, you know, we talk about it on the shows, is that, you know, it's the exit on the freeway. You know, it was way back there. You missed it. It already happened. You know, you already passed it. And, you know, this millennial, well, I mean, you know, even there, I'm still indoctrinated with the notion of a millennial reign. That's not in Scripture. It's the word thousand. The word thousand is symbolic. It's a word that's referring to perfection. It's referring to beheading, which is actually a metaphor for dying to the flesh. You know, these are all, you know, cryptic understandings that are there. But they're there for this time. You know, the Lord is, he said that, you know, to go thy way, Daniel, these words will be sealed till the time of the end. And, you know, we see this stuff opening up. And, you know, we're just amazed by what the Lord's showing us with this, because it is a huge piece of the puzzle that makes sense. And it's making so much click. Because we've been preaching, what have we been preaching about for months and months? About this gospel. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached, then the end shall come. Well, this is it. You know, this is what this is. You know, the kingdom of God has been here since Christ came the first time. And it's just because God's kingdom is not of this world. And, right. And God's kingdom comes without observation. And, you know, this is the kingdom. But it's right. There in the hearts of the believers. You know, the kingdom of God is within you. And it's up to us to be in obedience so we can rule and reign with Christ. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be redeemed from the earth and rule and reign with the Lord. You know, seated next to him on Mount Zion. And, you know, it's all there. It's all there. And it's all really being brought forth by some amazing work that Bill's been doing with these numbers and seeing the significance of these numbers that the Lord uses. I mean, I don't want to sound like we're talking about a Da Vinci code or anything, because that's what it is. But in a way, it is a code. You see these patterns that could only be there through, you know, through God's providence, because this book is amazing. You know, and I mean, I'm just going to say something. I'm just going to throw this out right now. I'm just looking at my notes, Revelation 13:16. And he shall call all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Okay, what do we just see there? Six, right, Bill?
Yep.
And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. That's six. That's right. Man.
That's man, right. That's bad. That's number six. That's evil. Those are your serpents and scorpions right there.
That's what that is, right?
And
there.
And they receive the mark. That telling you who receives. Those who stay in the flesh. That's what he's describing there. Those that stay in the flesh.
Those that stay in the flesh.
And when we say flesh so many times, I'd like to maybe just say that we're not talking about your fleshly body or there's something wrong with a person's flesh body, because we were given a perfect, you know, body to take care of by the Lord. God gave us these wonderful bodies, and we are to, you know, keep our temples clean as well physically and healthy and try to eat right and everything. But when we say flesh, we're talking about just man's desires to go back to his own will, what the flesh will lead you to. It's not like we're just criticizing the flesh or something like that. It's that's not, you know. Well, I'd like to just make that clear to some of the maybe new listeners, because we use that term a lot.
And audience, the implication of this.
Bob can explain it better than me, I know.
Brother Bill, you explained it perfectly there. It's this audience. The revealing of the thousand-year reign has an ending that is the proper rendering of Scripture. That the Lord cometh like a thief in the night, without observation, and this generation will not be given a sign. Now, the false doctrine of millennial reign is saying that when the Lord comes, he will reign for 1,000 years after the end of tribulation. And we, in trying to prepare you for tribulation, audience, which is your own individual tribulation and the great tribulation, is that at the end, it is great throne judgment time. There is no second chances. There's a plumb line, the Lord's side of the plumb line, built into the construct, built on the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ, built on the foundations of the apostles and disciples' teaching, and all that is to do the will of the Father, or you're not. And if you don't have the proper renderings of Scripture, then you're not in Christ. You are not in covenant. So it's as very simple as this could end anytime, right now. And our Lord is here, and you are going to judgment. We don't know how the judgment construct could look, but we're told through the Gospels that everybody will be walking in shame. They'll be gnashing at the teeth. People in such fear that it's beyond comprehension, but it's not for those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's
absolutely, it'll be a glorious day for those.
Absolutely. You're prepared for this. To do His will during this time. And everyone else is not. And they go to judgment, and our Lord knew you not. And just imagine it's freely given. This gospel is freely given to the world, and the world chooses to follow man.
Exactly.
And that's the fleshly understanding, is the false doctrines. And common sense tells you, if you have a preacher that's a multimillionaire, how many people did he feed with his million-dollar mansion and his ten cars?
Right. Right. How many people did they feed? Right.
And our Lord Jesus Christ took everybody and He fed them. He fed them through His miracles. He fed them the gospel. And when the proper rendering fleshly of He healed the blind is, they look at this and say, well, the blind man was able to see. But it's a metaphor. Spiritually, the blind man was revealed the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in every occasion, the blind, the dumb, the lame, they went to preach the gospel, the good news. And this is good news to you, audience, but it's not good news to everybody. Because everybody's surrounded by tares that are now turning black. Brother Bill?
Yes, absolutely. You know, in this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 14:24-14. Now, I do want to make it clear, the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom, it's all one gospel. It's the same gospel. There's no twos of anything. But it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. I mean, that's pretty clear. And then shall the end come.
So we're told in Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, audience, in a like manner, our Lord ascended into heaven, and He will descend in a like manner. And He had 500 people witness this, and He had angels there. And we'll recall what He said to Pilate, I could have my angels come and defend me. So they're preaching on the outside, Nephilim, this, that, the constructs. But we're told the angels will come with the Lord. And who are the angels, Bill?
His angels are the reapers.
So it's not out of the construct of a proper rendering that those going to judgment may be escorted by the angels, is it, Bill?
Absolutely. You know, it's in Matthew chapter 13 as well. You know, he said, bind them and bundle them in tares and burn them. Or bind the tares and bundle them or whatever and burn them. That's cast in the lake of fire.
All thrown judgment.
Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, Bill. It's.
Oh, I just said gather. You know, the wheat goes into his barn. You know, that's the ones that are going to have New Jerusalem. They're going to be there when the new city Jerusalem comes down.
So we're looking, audience, at a proper rendering of Scripture that it, coming in a like manner, like a thief in the night, without observation, that we have a thousand-year reign that's a spiritual construct, and it's not a millennial reign, and there is no thousand years to be redeemed and rule with the Lord. You're ruling with the, you're under the realm of the Lord now. And if you're not prepared for this properly, you will be condemned to death, and you will not have life. And if you're in the Babylonian system, the construct of any of these false doctrines, and you're not studying yourself approved, you will miss this. You will be the, one of the people that the Lord says, I knew you not, because you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not under the repentance of sins. You're not under the grace. You're not under the blood. You're under false doctrine being led to a lake of fire. Brother Chris?
Yep, and here we are, you know, just current events and Revelation chapter 13. Same thing. I see this as an aspect of the transition or the shift. You know, we've been talking about that. And just in real terms, it's the shift of Bible prophecy becoming current events. We're living it. You know, we are living these times. And it is just the most amazing time. It's the most amazing. I can't imagine a more exciting time in history than now. You know, when you have eyes to see this. I certainly wouldn't want to have my eyes on the world today because there certainly isn't anything there. It's so sad to see so many do still. I mean, I still see, you know, the multitude running to and fro, you know, still, you know, looking for, you know, worldly solutions.
Seeking rest and finding none.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's just exhausting watching them. But yeah, I'd, you know, if you guys are ready, I'd sure like to jump back into Revelation 13.
Oh, most certainly.
We'll start at Revelation 13:9. Do you want me at 13:9 and continue, or 13:9?
Yeah, I want you to do 13:9 and 10, and then we'll talk about that and see where that takes us.
Revelation 13:9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the presence, patience, faith of the saints.
Yeah, I would like to address number 9 real briefly there. Just any man have an ear, let him hear. If you desire to hear the truth, if you have a desire to want to know the truth, and you have an ear,
if you love the truth, to you.
And that's through the Holy Spirit, audience. That's directly saying to you that if you want to hear the truth.
Any man, he says. So that means anybody is included in if they want it.
Man, woman, it doesn't matter. Any soul that the Lord created that wants to hear the truth, it'll be revealed to them. Brother Chris?
Yeah, and it's just so neat the way that, you just see, you know, it's a hunger after the truth. And the analogy in Amos, you know, that, you know, I will send a famine on the land, you know, not for bread and water, but for hearing of the word. And, you know, that's exactly what that's talking about there. You know, the famine, but if you are hungry and thirsting after the word, you know, here, you know, if you have an ear, let you know, the Lord's just, he's just calling you to listen. And, you know, it's just neat, isn't it?
Yes, it's the beauty of the way all of this is written is just, never ceased to amazes me. And I'll read the same stuff over and over and over. And, it's just so, you know, beautifully written words of our Lord here in the scriptures. And we're so blessed to even have this, you know, to whom much given is much is required. And there's people that would die somewhere in the world to get their hands on a Bible, you know. Maybe in places like China or...
Absolutely. Audience, we're... When you look at the have an ear, let him hear, that's the Lord telling you directly, mano a mano, one-on-one, that if you want to know our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel, study this gospel, study yourself approved, and pray that the Holy Spirit reveal this to you. Not because we say it so, because the scriptures say it so. Brother Chris?
Yeah, and, you know, then when we see this, okay, so obviously the Lord's telling us, what I'm about to tell you is very important, folks, and it is important. The remaining part of this chapter is absolutely, you know, arguably the most, some of the most important doctrine in Scripture. It's life or death, the rest of this chapter of Revelation here. And, you know, and I got to say that this next verse, you know, verse 10 that you read, Bob, you have got some great insight into this as far as, you know, captivity and escaping. And I would just love to hear you expound on that a little bit.
Well, the scriptures tell that the identities we're dealing with that we've studied, we have spirits of, likened unto analogies of serpents and scorpions. And they are part of the construct of who's on the other side of the plumb line. They are in sin. They are lawless. They are not in the realm of our Lord. They are not of covenant with Jesus Christ our Lord. They are outside the construct. And we're told that the patience and the faith of the saints is the endurance of the saints to stay as holy temples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ are identified as the multitude. And the multitude are the ones that are being surrounded by this construct of serpents and scorpions. And they are ensnared. And if we go back to Isaiah, we are told that the multitudes make a covenant with death and hell, and they believe they're in agreement. They believe they are doing the will of the Lord in their walk. And the serpents and scorpions are leading them into idol worship. And they use a sword. The sword is the word. Twisted upside down scripture. And they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them to have the patience to endure, to study the scriptures, and to understand these identities. So they're surrounded. And the Lord will end this. He will bring back his multitude. And that is what it's saying here, is that the false prophets, idol worshippers, you know, they will be killed with the sword, because they're killing the multitude of people. The people that have a circumcised heart that the Lord judges to be his seed and redeems. Brother Bill?
Yeah, verse 10 is really interesting. There's like a dual factions within dual factions. You know, the captivity there, that's the scorpions. That's the people that'll turn you in for gain. The sword is the serpents. Those are the ones that kill you. So you have actually merchandisers there and workers of iniquity. That's your offenders and doers of iniquity right there in that verse.
Which is really the theme of the remaining of this chapter, is the merchandisers.
Yeah.
Anything else, gentlemen?
No.
We should briefly touch, we did last week, but I'll just, here is the patience of the faith of the saints, and that's where your soul lies, and everything is in your patience. Your patience that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to you know, they said you rest a little while for just another season. Yeah, that's where our patience is. And our trust is in Him. It's not in anything worldly. The problems of this world are not going to be solved by the world. I mean, that's like asking Beelzebub to cast out Beelzebub. And Jesus said, you know, the devil can't cast out devils.
And in the identities of the false prophet and the beast, you're now seeing that the one gospel is now into 34,000 denominations, 34,000 different renderings of Scripture, and none of them are true. And they have they are turned upside down, as we found with 11 parables in Matthew 13, as we find with all the parables. The mustard seed, the proper rendering of Scripture, is not given to those churches because they're identified as Babylon.
Right, they're the Baskin Robbins of denominations.
All the flavors of the merchandisers. But this was foretold, and this is what we're told in Scriptures, in Revelation. These things are happening in our generation, and now you need to be prepared to do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this patience is also related to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That is the endurance. This is the endurance to the end that is speaking, because you can be ensnared in any false prophet. We're seeing it live and in color with other ministries that are not preaching this gospel. They're not preaching Jesus Christ and the repentance of sins. They're preaching, you can fix this. You can separate from this, but you have to go to some spiritual island mess, false doctrine. You need to be aware of that, audience. You could be ensnared, and we pray that we're not deceived and we give the proper rendering of Scripture. You ready for Revelations 13:11?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Brother Bill, let's address these identities.
Well, first of all, you have beast. Then you have lamb. The lamb is the false prophet. You could take the word lamb out and put false prophet there, and on the end of the sentence, you got the dragon. So there's your triune matrix of Satan right there, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. But this is the beast comes up out of the earth. He's talked about in the book of Job in chapter 40. This is Behemoth. This is the church, apostate Christianity, that sucks all the water out of the River Jordan. I believe it says somewhere late in that chapter. And what it means is there's, you know, he leaves a dry desert wasteland. There's no holy water left after the apostate false prophet's been there. And he has two horns. That's his dialectic process. You know, he takes one lie and pits it against another lie, and to form a synthesis in the middle. But it all looks, each side, whoever's on each side of that horn, it looks like a lamb to him. In other words, you know, one side of that horn could be Roman Catholicism. To all those people, he looks like a lamb. And the other horn is a Protestant. And to all of his people, it looks like a lamb. But he's telling you, he's double-minded, that's why he's got two horns. But he says he speaks like a dragon, so he's going to speak like Lucifer. He's going to double-speak. He speaks the language of Lucifer, which is the dialectic. And Chris, you can expound on the dialectic probably better than me, and how this energy comes.
Yeah, I actually had some real insight into this today. I just, you know, you get your moments of clarity. You know, I think it happened this morning when I woke up. I just got this, you know, early on when I woke up to the New World Order and stuff like that, you heard about the re-education camps, you know, and we're going to get hauled away to the camps and be re-educated into the new way of thinking, you know. And then here, you know.
Another sign they've already missed, huh?
Yeah, that was about five exits back. I mean, that's what's been happening the last 20 years.
Your re-education camp is your living room watching your TV.
They've been doing that for 60 years.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately the last 20 years is when this really kicked
ultimately,
in with
right,
this.
Ultimately the last 20 what, years.
It's the Marxist, you know, the Marxist church. It's taken over from, you know, people don't realize how evil and sinister this stuff is because it's all right under our nose. And they don't, you know, realize that Marxism isn't, you know, Chairman Mao in a red suit, you know. It's, you know, the guy up, you know, behind your pulpit, up in front of your church. You know, they don't realize all this stuff because it's all wonderful. It's all social, friendly. And what they've done, though, is they've replaced the sovereignty of God. They've replaced the oneness of, you know, the absolute truth of Scripture with dialogue. They've replaced it with the group consensus.
That's
and this
right.
has taken place. And I'm telling you, it's the most evil thing probably ever to come on the face of the earth because it has taken control of the minds of the multitude. And all innocently. It seems good. It seems wonderful. But these churches are social centers. They're not based on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God isn't the, you know, all in all. It's the church. It's the church is the thing. And this is the and this is what's taking place. So the re-education has happened. The church has been turned into a social organism, and it's driven by the social opinion of the group of the hive, not the sovereign truth of script. You know, the sovereignty of God, not the ultimate truth of Scripture. So this has already taken place, and it's brutal because I'm surrounded with these people, and. You know, they just don't see it because it's, because they're in it. They're caught in a snare. This is, you know, one of the big aspects of the snare.
Right.
And, you know, these are the multitude now that are cheering today because Osama bin Laden's been killed. You know, and, now, you know, they're closer to their world peace, which is what they're all longing for, which
the
I'm afraid
they
said
to the say, world was the safer place today. I mean, this is laughable, isn't it?
It's you know, it's laughable, but it's not. I mean,
it's
yeah,
not, right.
it's laughable
but it's
you
not,
think
right.
it through the souls that are getting taken to hell because of this doctrine. You know,
that's not laughable. No, I agree.
It's really something. You know, it's absolutely something. But this is the Marxist takeover of the church, and it's happened. It's taking place right now,
and
it's been done by those two horns because it's just the constant tension between the two horns. The short circuit that takes place between those two horns is where Satan has steered this, you know, false prophet, has steered the minds of the multitude to where we are today, to where, you know, absolute truth of Scripture and, you know, sound doctrine is gone. And, you know, this is the falling away. We are in the falling away because Christians have fallen away from sound doctrine.
Absolutely, Chris. That's, Brother Chris is articulating something, audience, that is the proper rendering of Scripture. And who is doing this? It's likened unto a dragon. Okay, so it's Satan. So Satan acting as a serpent, but it's back to Adam and Eve. It's the beguilement of the innocent. Adam and Eve had no understanding. They were just told exactly what to do. Don't eat of this tree, or you will surely die. And Satan is doing the same thing in the churches now. And the churches are in the great falling away. They're ensnared. And it's likened unto a surrounding of being surrounded, and they can't get out. And they are doing this now. The great falling away has been upon the church since our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in this end generation that it used to be just the Catholic Church, the big churches, and the small churches held on to sound doctrine. Now your corner church is infected the same way these other churches are. Brother Bill?
Yeah, they're really unequally yoking themselves with every Hindu mysticism that comes along. Whether it be Baha'is, whether it be SRF,
yoga,
yogi, the self-realization is SRF, self-realization fellowship, and yoking themselves with, oh gosh, I don't know, every bit of Freemasonry possible. And then ultimately yoking themselves with the one truly Antichrist religion that doesn't recognize Jesus at all. This is such irony that they would choose the one religion in the whole world that doesn't recognize Jesus in some way. You know, most religions recognize Jesus as being a great teacher. Islam recognizes Jesus as being a great prophet. But Judaism recognizes Jesus to not exist. And it's this is such irony that that's the one faction that Christianity would finally yoke itself with. They would take the one that just totally rejects Jesus.
And audience, if you're in the Zionist movement, I'd like you to get on a plane and go to Israel and mention Lord Jesus Christ's name there, because they'll arrest you on the spot. Okay, there's a great deception upon the land, and if you're not prepared to do the will of the Lord for this tribulation, you will be condemned to hell. And you must remember it is the Lord himself that reveals this to his servants so that they may be prepared to do the will of the Father as a holy vessel. And you can't get into the wedding supper with a vile, wrong robe. You can't get in by works.
You can't have a toga robe.
You can't come in with a toga or a hoodie.
No hoodies.
No hoodies. And the Lord says, come out of her. And that's the harlot church. And that's Babylon. And it's spiritual Egypt. And he says, come unto me. You need to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to have the understanding of this gospel, or you will be ensnared by the dragon himself, live and in color. Continuing on 13:12. Oh, anything else, gentlemen, on this verse?
Oh, that'll be good.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, that's right. You're going to do 12 right now, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Bill, Bob.
And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Brother Bill?
I would like to give a spiritual rendering of this verse. And actually, why don't you go ahead and give your understanding here, Chris, because I know you have tremendous understanding of this verse also.
Well, I sure see the significance here is the old earth dwellers, you know, them that dwell on the earth. And that's what really this chapter is about. It's about calling out the them that dwell on the earth to, join the remnant redeemed from the earth. You know, the remnant is seated with Christ. And that's, it's all part of the flesh. You know, it's all them that dwell on the earth are walking after the flesh, after the vanity of their own mind. And those that are walking of spirit, you know, the natural man understands not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And then, ultimately, the theme of this chapter is that the earth dwellers, them that dwell on the earth, are the ones that worship the beast and the image of the beast. And we're going to see this, I hope, with perfect clarity by the time we're done, because I really see that this has come, has been fully, I don't know, I'm sure there's more insight the Lord can give us, but I really think he's opened this up to us. I remember the day that I got a hold of this. You know, after being in the church for almost 30 years and, you know, all the false renderings of what this meant, you know, how this was presented by the rapture cult and all the other twists out there. But to realize that, false prophet is causing them that dwell on the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, the first beast is the state of Israel. You know, ultimately the new world order, the whole world government, but the whole system is controlled by the state of Israel and all the Zionist Freemasonic vessels of wrath associated with it.
Because birthed out of Great Britain, I believe, right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, in the study we did last week, the other day, from the Thousand Year Reign, we exposed British Israelism, and you know, we see the Zionist movement. You know, it all came out of the same timeline, and it couldn't have happened without the help of the cults. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Schofield dispensationalists. You know, all brought about these false doctrines, these false understandings of these verses.
Pentecostals was another big one.
And those false, you know, they're all splits of the horn. You know, the two horns just keep splitting and splitting and splitting, multiplying. But they're ultimately taking your attention away from the fact that they're the actual, object of this call to not worship the beast, because you know, the beast is the entire system. And, you know, Revelation 13 takes it apart to just try to, the Lord gives us understanding into the inner workings of the beast. But the bottom line is, there's only one beast. You know, it's the fact that, you know, the false prophet aspect of the beast is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the collective false prophet. It's the spirit. It's actually the spirit of Antichrist, if you will, that is controlling the church. And it's causing the church to wonder after the beast in the fact that, you know, the church is told to support Israel, not knowing that what they're doing is surrendering their birthright as Israel and giving it to a fleshly group of people. And this is a huge problem because the church is Israel. The church is, you know, has a rich heritage that Jesus, you know, died on the cross for, and it says in Jeremiah, "O destroyer of thy heritage." This is what's happening, and what's happening is the world, the church, and them that dwell on the earth are wandering after the beast whose deadly wound was healed, and the deadly wound on the ultimate physical layer was healed in 1948 when Israel became the nation. And that deadly wound was inflicted in 70 AD. And then, you know, I know Bill is going to go on with the spiritual rendering of this, as this stuff is, you know, multi-layered and also recapitulates, because there's been many cycles of this, you know, the deadly wound healed all through history. But what we're seeing today in the end times is the final recapitulation of these verses. And, you know, it's happening in real time right now as this beast kingdom is rising to power. And, you know, with this events concerning Osama bin Laden and all the CIA Mossad propaganda mind control behind it. Believe me, this thing is growing and growing and growing. And, you know, it's happening in real time, you know, May 1st, 2011.
Brother Bill.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very accurate assessment in real time, Chris. Absolutely. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. Well, the first beast was man number six. That was you, man number six. You were a beast. You got into number seven. You were in Jesus Christ, but you got involved in the dialectic of the two horns of the land and the false prophet through flatterizing you. Made you so proudful that you fell back to number eight, and it caused you to go back and worship the man again. You become prideful of yourself. This can happen on a collective layer, which is the whole church on a collective layer, and it can happen on an individual layer as well. But the lies from the false prophet, that lamb with the two horn, he gives you so much flattery that he sends you back to the beast of iniquity. You know, there's two beasts in Ezekiel 28. Satan, he's got a divided mind. You might say he's half man and half woman. I don't know. You know, he's got... But his first faction and his first evil is iniquity. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in thine heart. And then his second evil is merchandising and trafficking. So after you've been merchandised by the lamb with two horns... And you've bought and drank of this wine and drunk. Now you fall and go back to the first beast. You're in worse. What does that say? Man is in worse shape than he was when he was started out. You know, and He wanders in dry places, seeking rest and finding none. But that's what it is. They get you the liar, the false prophet, gets you so drunk on wine that have you seen a guy in the bar that they get so drunk and they want to just go around and pick a fight with anybody? Oh, I can. There's nobody in this bar that I can't take. You know, and he gets full of pride. And that's what happens when you drink this false doctrine, and it leads you back to the first beast. The first beast is pride. And
it makes you think that you've made a covenant with death,
right.
And with hell you're in agreement, and that when the overflowing scourge comes, nothing can touch you. And it's exactly what you're saying, Bill. It's a good
analogy.
You
know, in a way, too, Chris, on one other layer, because this stuff is so layered, the Catholic Church received a deadly wound in the 16th century when the true word of God came out in the English language.
Yeah.
100-year period. That was a deadly wound for Roman Catholicism.
And in a way, we're seeing that healed because
some
is actually heading back towards Rome.
Yeah.
Because this whole one world religion is forming, and it's going to be a conglomeration of all these movements, and it's all going to be Israel centric. And it's happening in real time, right in front of our eyes. And it's something that we're going to end up in this chapter. Probably won't finish it tonight. We'll have to wrap it up next week. We'll see how it goes, but this is it. I mean, this is it, folks. You can't go along with this. We cannot go along with this. Christians have got to stand up against this. And this is Mark of the Beast time. This is decision time. Multitudes in the valley of decision.
An audience, this worship that is the proper rendering, them that dwell therein to worship. And that worship means it's likened unto a dog licking his master's hand, to fawning over, to laying prostrate. And so you've given up all that the Lord has asked you to do, and that's to stand in the holy place, to study yourself approved, to repent of your sins, to take the analogies and samples, parables of our Lord Jesus Christ and study them. You've taken it and you put it aside, and you're listening to the dragon, and everything sounds good. Everything's good. Everything's fine. And you are deceived, and you are ensnared, and when you try to get out of this snare, you can't. And the dragon is condemning you to death. And we're told, beware of the not only the person that could kill you with the sword, but especially the person that could kill the body and the soul. And this is the identity of that many false prophets that are killing the body and the soul. Because after this is death and judgment. Brother Bill?
Exactly. You're being killed spiritually. In fact, you're already dead if you're not reborn in Jesus Christ. That's the life there. And Chris and I are discussing this quite a bit on those 1,000-year studies that we've been doing. And we're all walking dead in our sins until we're reborn in Jesus Christ. And they would like, this beast and false prophet would like nothing better than to merchandise your soul and kill you spiritually.
And they have no idea what's going on because they don't study themselves approved. They let the corporate churches run the Bible studies. They let the corporate churches choose the diminished Bibles that are used. So you're sitting in a group of five people and everybody has a different Bible. A different gospel, diminishment of the word. And on a fleshly level, you can see this happening through the scriptures. On a spiritual level, these key identities of scripture, of the correct rendering of the parables, tell this whole story. And everybody's omitting one thing. I come like a thief in the night.
That's right. And actually, he does. He gives him a couple of. Well, he said Jonah. He says you're not deserving of a sign except for the prophet Jonas. But he actually does give a couple other signs indirectly. And it's interesting. It's two factions. I mean, it's just, it's beautifully written all through the scriptures. He gave you two signs, two factions of evil. He says it'll be in the days of Noah and it'll be in the days of Lot. It'll be likened to the days of Noah and the likened to the days of Lot. There's your two right there. So that's really a big sign in itself. But of course they won't miss it because they won't know they're in the days of Lot.
But you, audience, will. You understand this now. These are the proper renderings of scriptures that you need to, not because we say it, because the scriptures say it, but you have to study this. Because there's more. There's more workers needed.
More workers needed, absolutely. We could use some more workers.
And it's likened unto, we've gone through the identities and the 144,000 understand this construct, and everyone that studies himself approved falls into the body of Christ. And the body
That's
of
right.
Christ is led by the head, which is the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because man out there is doing what man does, and you can liken unto it the Old Testament Israel. They were always condemned. They always had great plagues and famines and being destroyed. But when they were redeemed, you know, what is that story? 180,000 were killed outside the walls of Jerusalem.
180,000, right. By probably an electrical storm or something, because their clothes and stuff were still there, but their bodies were like ashes. It was interesting.
And we're given only a glimpse in the prophet Elijah, and Elijah, that they were surrounded by great armies that were going to destroy them, and the student, Elijah, was granted a glimpse around him, and he saw the spiritual construct of this audience. There is a spiritual construct. We war not in the flesh, but in spirit. Proper rendering is, you can't war in the spirit on your own. It is the Lord who is warring in the spirit on your behalf to do his will.
Amen.
And the people in the churches have no armor. The Ephesians 6 armor, the armor of light, to be protected, because they do not walk in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, and they follow the idol shepherd, and they follow in idol worship. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I'm ready for 14 if you are.
Sounds good.
Or, I mean, 13.
Oh, 13, right.
And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Brother Chris?
Oh my gosh, I mean, this is happening right now, real time. I mean, this thing couldn't be more fully manifest today than these signs and wonders ministries. You know, these Elijah listers. I get their emails, and they run in spurts. You know, there'll be a couple a day, three, four a day. And they're all about bringing down fire and, miracles and healing. And I'm telling you, this stuff is all, and it's all false doctrine. All they are is, like, their emails tonight were all about the Osama bin Laden, you know, which is a complete pile of baloney, folks. I mean, I don't know if you realize that or not, but, you know, this guy's been dead for years. And this is all propaganda that they pulled out right at the right time. But, here they are. They're praising, the government for this. They're all working in lockstep. It's absolutely the beast and the false prophet working together. And these multitudes are following after these people. And, the nonsense they come up with these prophecies, you know, and the funny thing is there's always some truth in there. So it is very deceptive. And sometimes they get really, really, very close with some of their prophecies. But, that's because, the spirit realm is, it's there. And, Satan is the counterfeiter. He's the deceiver. And, you know, this is what we're seeing. Just take notice that the next time you think about it, how these signs and wonders ministries are always about bringing down fire from heaven. I mean, you see it everywhere. And, you know, I don't know how more blatant. This stuff is so blatant and so in our face now. But at the same time, the masses are so deceived that, you know, it took Satan, you know, 100 years to get them here. And, you know, that's what we're seeing right now in front of us. Absolutely.
Brother Bill?
Yeah, it's great signs and wonders. And when you see these great signs and wonders, then you start thinking, wow, who can make war against the beast?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the world democracy is going to save the whole world, and who can make war against us? There it is. You know, that's what they're promoting out there.
Brother Chris, going to closing, any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just am really grateful for the audience sticking with us and all the encouragement we get during the week and everything. I'm chomping at the bit to get through this, but it's just so rich we can't push it. So I guess we're just going to have to wait for another week to wrap up chapter 13. But oh boy, this is happening in right in front of our eyes, and it's just so amazing, you know, when you have eyes to see it. And it's just so frustrating too. At the same time, the Lord gives you understanding, those that want the truth, that love the truth. And at the same time, you know, the masses are just in love with this world and are just going to do anything they can to come up with something, a message of hope that points you to the world. You know, people are still looking for this yo-yo Glenn Beck to, you know, lead them to us back to our, you know, godly roots. And, you know, that's just the, you know, one of the tips of the iceberg. But everybody's eyes are on the flesh, and I'm sorry, God's kingdom is not of this world. And we certainly saw that tonight. And I just want to encourage everybody to just, you know, keep your, you know, keep seeking after the Spirit and being in tune with the Spirit, because absolutely, you know, the spirit realm is invading the natural. And as we see these months and, you know, how long we have, who knows? But as we see this monster, this beast, you know, forming in front of our eyes, you know, it's just going to be a time where the remnant of Israel, the true remnant believers of God, you know, the Israel of God, you know, need to know who they are, know their identity, know that what they're called to do, you know that the Scripture is talking to them. When they're talking about Israel, it's talking to you folks. It's talking about, you know, the remnant believers in the end times. It's, you know, I'm just talking about the remnant all through time. But, you know, when we read Scripture now and we see Israel, we got to think that's us. And we also know that Satan has completely distorted that identity on top of, you know, many other identities. But, you know, you find out who Israel was. You know, Israel are the people who are in covenant with God. And unfortunately, many forsake that covenant. But all of Israel is not Israel, as Paul said. And, you know, just you hold on to that rich heritage that Christ went to the cross for. And, realize that you are ruling and reigning with Christ today. I know that's a twist to what we've been taught concerning the quote-unquote millennial reign. But, again, I'd like to point everybody to these breakout studies that we've been doing. And, you know, there's so much information to glean there. The jigsaw puzzle is just coming together. You know, more pieces are just fitting. And it's just wonderful. And it's exciting, and we know it's the Lord doing it for us, you know, doing it, opening our eyes. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody for the support. And with that, I'll turn it over to you guys, and until we meet again.
Brother Bill.
Yes. You know, you pointed out there the Israel of God, and you know, that's his only saved construct, and it all boils down to one. And right now, everybody has their hopes in two. And you know, this race was already over with. Satan, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death and defeated Satan on the cross 2,000 years ago. This is a done race. Number one wins this race. So if you're out there, you know, betting on this number two, which is the world, which is anything of two factions, you got a losing ticket in your hand. You're going to walk up to the cashier's window to cash your ticket, and they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth because there's no cashing the number two horse in. That, you know, that's of the world. And I'd like to say that we've had a couple of newcomers join and are happy to see some they recognize some truth and the Holy Spirit in there. And we've gotten some emails and directed them to our Fence the River forum. We're all, you know, in one accord on Fence the River, and we're of single heart and sharing the word in the Lord Jesus Christ there and learning from each other. And you'd be surprised how much we can learn from each other. You know, people come in and they're seeing things that the Holy Spirit shows them. He gives all of us a measure. And we all work together with one accord, and we can open up these studies and we can put them into real time and get a much better view of things. So I just want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have the Holy Spirit come into you. And don't let any man point you in any other direction but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Brother Chris, thank you. Audience, again, Brother Bill, I couldn't say it more. Thank you for listening. We point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name for salvation. We're told in John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Audience, the proper rendering of this walk is to tread all around. It's to understand this gospel and any other gospel. You have the ability to tread the false gospels that will ensnare you. And you're able to do the will of the Father for whatever he may have for you to do. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every fear, every need. And it's all in the Our Father, spiritually. Pray that prayer. Pray to do the will of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you and good night.
About a lion.